Blog Talk Radio.
You got that good hair, too.
You like what?
I like girls with that light complexion look.
Oh, man. You're a moron.
I can't help it.
What, being a moron?
Yeah, that too.
You're the first one out there with a dashiki talking that crap.
I'm a victim.
Good hair. Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
Your problem. A victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.
Came from your mother. Looking all sick. You like, yo, let me ask you something.
www.theclowntimes.net, and you can find us on Facebook as well. Just do a search for The Clown Times on Facebook, again, it's Clown Silver K. You'll be able to find me. So, old school hip-hop for you. Love old school hip-hop. Anyway, a little reminiscent, a little apropos, if you will, of what's been going on the past weekend in the NBA. Because I originally was supposed to talk about, was planning on talking about who is a true superstar in the NBA because, you know, on ESPN's first tape, they were discussing Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless coming in, were discussing who are the true superstars in the NBA. This was being branded about. Names were being thrown around. But given this whole Donald Sterling stuff that went on this past weekend, actually yesterday, you know, I'm going to slip that in there and, hell, it may have picked up the whole podcast. We have an hour to discuss. But anyway, without further ado, I've got two of my main men joining me to discuss. One, Donald Sterling. Got my man, Dwayne Nash. Y'all know him from the Yard / HBCU Sports. And, of course, my man, Chris Lupe, a Southside Chicago cat who was once a Cowboys fan for some reason, but now has seen depending on the light. But at any rate, fellas. Welcome to the Clown Hour. What's up, man?
Hey. And everybody hey. On the avenue, I know. Man, I love that black star right there, man. God.
That's right. That's classic hip-hop. Classic hip-hop. But at any rate, well, that's like I said before, the song is pretty apropos given what Donald Sterling said about brown-skinned ladies and brown-skinned people in general. I know you guys have been living underneath a rock, so I'm not going to regurgitate what that fool said or as what Michael Smith on Numbers Never Lie earlier today called him, quote, a damn fool, end quote. So I'm not going to belabor the point. First of all, Chris LePay, what are your thoughts on one Donald Sterling and what he had to say this over the weekend?
Well, first I want to go on record and say, let's just say allegedly said until they actually come out and say, I mean, even though we're all pretty positive that it sounds like him and it sounds like, you know, something he would say based upon his record. And, yes, it looks like a duck, you know, it acts like a duck. But until you know, the NBA and all of its resources comes out and says, that, let's just call it allegedly. But first I will say that you know, I'm kind of disgusted, you know, by this because, you know, plus I've heard some of the comments that Baron Davis just recently made about his own experience with Donald Sterling, so this is not new.
Yeah.
I would like to go on a record and say I'm a little disgusted by this because you know, it's okay for him to, you know, have a black girlfriend. Okay, it's okay for him to, you know, have black people playing for him, to making him money, you know, but he doesn't want them in, he doesn't want black people at his events. You know, he doesn't want or her to associate with black people, even though she's, you know, not his wife. He doesn't want black people around. I'm, and in the league that's mostly black, you know, I'm disgusted by it, and I really want to see him, personally, I want to see him gone, but I don't know that that's going to happen. I think that what he did was wrong, and if a player had done it, there would be, you know, repercussions. So, NBA, let's see some repercussions.
Right. All right, Nash, you're up, brother.
You know, normally I would start this off with a disclaimer, but I think I'm going to go ahead and just allow everything that I do to be held responsible by what I say tonight. I got to start it off with the definition of racism. You know, since everyone's been talking about this and harping on the word, you know, of course, you know, the definition of it, according to Merriam-Webster, hatred or intolerance of another race or other races. Mm-hmm. So we can clearly see that along not only with the statements that were made by him in this tape, but by a lot of the things that he's done in the past. Chris just said the statements that he made, or the Baron Davis and the statements that he made, or the conversations that he's had with Sterling in the past. Not to only forget, but let's not forget the Elgin Baylor case from 2009, where Elgin Baylor sued him in a wrongful wrongful employment suit there. Also, let's not forget the Slumlord situation there. You know, but let me talk about another thing that he's also run into the ground. Let's not forget that he also ran the Los Angeles Clippers into the ground as well. He's owned this team for 33 years. You know, he's owned this team for 33 years. Of the 33 years that he's owned this team, of the 33 years that he's owned this team, only 6 years has this team been over 500.
Yep. That's something.
And of those six, three were the past three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to look at it like this, of those 33 years, 18 of those years he's won, or that organization has won, less than 30 games. So he's just basically just been running his team into the ground, giving poor black kids money so they can have homes and things like that. But, yes, we already know from his past, he's a racist. My main concern is this young lady here, Ms. Vanessa, whatever her last name is. What was the purpose of her recording this conversation between the two of them? I find it to be very interesting that she did so, you know, especially with her not being in a relationship. According to her, earlier today on TMZ, she said she was working as an activist for the organization of the Los Angeles Clippers. Exactly. You know, but it seems like one person who really doesn't believe that she's an activist is Sterling's wife, who, of course, is currently suing her for having relations with her husband. Now, mind you, even if she is an activist for the organization, who is having this long, drawn-out argument with an employee about who she is or who she is not having pictures with or taking pictures with and posting on Instagram? It's completely ridiculous. The one thing that no one or a lot of people aren't really talking about, because, of course, the whole racism thing is out there, is the fact that Sterling is getting checked by his boys that his jump-off is potentially going to be a jump-off of somebody else and putting that fear in his heart. That's where this whole conversation really is coming from. His boys is calling him up, hey, yo, I seen your girl on Facebook. I seen your girl on Instagram. She taking pictures with Magic Johnson. She taking pictures with Matt Kemp. Why you ain't got your girl in check? What's up with that? You need to go ahead and check your girl. We've all had that conversation at least once in our life, regardless of how dumb it was. You know what I'm saying? And in that moment of conversation, a lot of times things may have been said that may not be politically correct. Now, to be surprised that the dude is throwing racist comments out there, it's no surprise to me because of his past. I just find that this is extremely dirty, number one, for her to record this conversation. two, for everyone in the league to be surprised that this dude is racist, because there's no way in the world that none of the other owners don't know that this dude is racist. I guarantee you when they're having owners meeting, they're probably joking around, and he's probably throwing racist jokes around then. So why is this a surprise to the league now? But I'm just, number one, hurting for the team, because even on this show, I picked the Clippers to win it all.
Right.
And this is hurting my chances. Come on now, you hurt my chances as being the prognosticator, Mr. Sterling, and I'm going to have to talk to you about that on the streets sometime in the near future. But you're hurting these dudes' chances at history to win a ring, and for everyone to go ahead and say that, you know, these guys should just go ahead and not have played on Sunday is very short-sighted. Allow these dudes to handle the situation the best way they can, and I hate the comparison to Bill Russell and to Muhammad Ali, who, ironically enough, 47 years ago today, he was stripped of his championship because he didn't want to go to war.
Right.
And you know, let them dudes handle the situation the way that they did. No one really talks about John Carlos and Tommy Smith and the way that they handled their situation. You know, a lot of people question, why didn't they run? They ran. They did what they did. They competed and competed well, and they had their moment of standing up for, you know, for social injustice. Let these dudes do what they do. At least they did something. At least they did something. They could have done a vintage Michael Jordan or a vintage Tiger Woods and done absolutely nothing. These dudes did something.
Right.
Applaud them for that. Let them handle the situation the way that they need to handle it, and let the league handle the situation the way that they're going to handle it as well.
Right. Well, here's my take on it. First of all, both of you brothers made excellent, excellent, excellent points. This whole thing reeks all the way around.
Exactly.
So many levels. So first of all, we all know that Dollar Sterling is a douchebag, okay? And this has been known for years and years and years and years. And you know what they say, for the roaches that you see and kill in the light, there are many more that exist in the dark. I know that's a hood saying, but, you know, it's kind of true if you think about it. So, which means that this cat probably has said some things or done some more things that we don't know about. And maybe the owners know about. You know what I mean? Because they're all cronies. They're all the billionaires club. So there's that. So basically, for those who are outraged, I mean, where have you been? You know what I'm saying? That is for those who are fans, for those who have kept up with the NBA the past few seasons, years. You know, it's like, where have you been? I mean, I hate to say that I wasn't surprised and wasn't saddened by it, but, you know, given this cat's track record, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So there's that. But on the other hand, well, not on the other hand, rather, there shouldn't be no buts with this, but I said but again, but this jump off, all right, V. Stirion, whatever the hell her last name is, the stage name is, she set him up, okay? First of all, the thing is that in the state of California, it is illegal to tape conversations that the other party does not know, which means that even though TMZ got a hold of it, of course it did, right? And even though Donald Stern is, you know, for those who've forgotten, has been made out to be the douchebag that a lot of people who know the situation, follow him closely, have come to know him as, right? The thing is that she's come off as just a slimy, in my opinion. You know, because it's obvious that this chick has to axe the grind. It's obvious that she's getting back at him or her fan or the dude's estranged wife who's suing her for, I don't know, $2 million or whatever it is. Of course, this chick doesn't have $2 million. So what does she do? She's like, all right, I'm a really walk your world by showing everybody how bad this dude really is. And for the record, what the hell is a 20-year-old woman doing with an 81-year-old man?
Does that
not seem weird to you? I mean, come on.
To get $1.8 million worth of gifts, that's why.
I guess
and
so.
There
you go. Among other things he's receiving for her. Anyway, I didn't mean that. But the point
nothing
being
he can
is,
do for her.
Exactly. Yeah. What can Brown do for you? What is a 20-year-old woman doing for 80-year-old man? I know she's a jump off. I know she's a groupie. I know she's a gold digger. But an 80-year-old man? Really? But anyway, I digress. I'm sorry. I'm just digressing all over the place. But, you know, say what you want about Dallas Sterling. They all might be pretty much true. But we can't let this young lady off the hook either. Okay? I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, birds of a feather flock together. They're both despicable as far as I'm concerned. So let's not let this chick off the hook. And here's one more person or party, if you will, or entity that I'm going to blame for the Donald Sterling-ness. The NBA itself. Especially David Stern. This David Stern, for all of the authoritarian things he's done in the past, i.e. suspending Ron Artest for the season for the brawl in the palace, right? Mouse in the palace. Like, remember what he said? He said, it was a unanimous vote, 1-0, being that was David Stern's call. Okay. The thing is, I understand that David Stern works for the owners. I understand that his hands may be a little bit tied, but you're the commissioner of a professional sport, okay? There are some type of standards, some type of, I don't know, maybe integrity, some type of something that should have put the mat down on this guy a long time ago. And I understand that Sterling sued him when the NBA tried to block his move to Los Angeles from San Diego way back in the day. And I understand he's like NBA's version of Al Davis minus the bigotry, I suppose. But still, this is an awful guy who did an awful job as owner for several decades, over three decades. And like D. Nash mentioned, 6 winning seasons and 30-plus seasons. That's terrible. That's just terrible.
Well, let's go back to your point about blaming it on David Stern. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to, was it 2 or 3 seasons ago when there was a trade in place to send Chris Paul to the Los Angeles Lakers? It was blocked by who? Okay? And the people that blocked it did not want it to go to the Lakers because they said, oh, that's going to give them an unfair advantage. So we'll send it to the Clippers and give the Clippers 3 winning seasons of the 6 in their history. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we're looking at a monster. You know, now he's got, you know, now this guy that allegedly had these racist comments that has these feelings about, you know, the slave mentality. They're giving him a winning team, okay, because, you know, they drafted Blake Griffin. They started spending money. They're bringing in an excellent coach. Now they're, you know, beating up on the Lakers and everybody else in the playoffs for, what, the second and third straight year with all-stars and a good supporting cast. They created this monster by rewarding him for the behavior that he's exhibited over the years. So what do you expect when you have a kid that you spoil? You know, you get affluenza, which is what he's got. All right? He thinks now that he's got a team that's winning, you know, I can go, you know, I can watch Scandal. Wow, I can go get me a black girl. I'm cool now. I'm an older white guy with a black girl. You know, I'm cool, you know. That he's got affluenza, and they gave it to him. David Stern gave it to him because they should have gone ahead and just let the trade take place like it was going to happen and let the Lakers and everyone else continue to beat up on the Clippers, you know, with this rogue owner, you know. But they've created the monster. You know, they gave him the big head, you know. So, I put David Stern, he's culpable. The NBA is culpable because somebody had to agree to it. You know, well, actually, no, they didn't because he can vote on his own. Obviously.
Yeah, right.
But to go back to the young lady, yeah, I'm sure she had an axe to grind. And if you listen to, I was listening to some more of the extended version of it on radio this evening when I was coming home, and you could tell she's kind of baiting him to talk about stuff, baiting him to talk about racism. You've got these racist attitudes, and the world's not like that. And I don't want to change. You know, she's baiting him to talk. So, yeah, she's recording it. And you're right, it's illegal in California to do that. But that's only when it's admissible in court. This is not a court case. This is a, you know, hey, hear some things that were said. So this is not this. What you're saying would not is correct. It wouldn't be admissible in court. But she's not interested in taking it to court. She's getting what she wants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
so
yeah,
she's got to act to try. But
right.
if he's bold enough to say these things to people who he thinks he can trust, you know. And the thing is with racism, you know, we see it's just like an iceberg. What we see is on the surface. How do young kids
mm-hmm.
learn it? You know, how do people who are our age learn it? They hear it at home.
Right.
They hear stuff from their grandparents. They hear stuff from their uncles and aunts. They hear stuff from their parents, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So these
it's
are
learned.
Things that are underneath the water that we don't see. We just hear somebody say something about, oh, those people, the black people from up north, the black people from around, from across the tracks, we didn't talk to them because all they do is X, Y, and Z. That's what
mm-hmm.
we hear. We don't hear the stuff underneath the surface that, you know, this is where this came from. You know, dad said something when, you know, this person was 6, you know, or 12, or made a comment, you know, when they saw a black person achieve, oh, look at this, the Negroes can't do anything, and they give them something because of affirmative action, you know. So this is what the kid
right.
believes growing up. This is stuff underneath the surface. All that she did was brought to light what he was saying underneath the surface that we wouldn't normally see. If she didn't
right.
do that, we just see him at the game sitting there laughing and talking like everything's cool, not knowing exactly what his heart feels. Now we know what his heart is like. And,
right.
you know, the slave mentality, you know, it's unfortunate that it's still here. You know, that here we are in 2014, you know, almost halfway
mm-hmm.
through the year, and we hear, you know, Donald Sterling say this thing. You know, we hear the rancher, I'm sure y'all seen that in the news, the rancher in Nevada talk about Negroes and they were better off in slave
Don't
days
get
when they
fool.
Had cotton. But this is what's
yeah.
going on. And they're, you know, those guys, men are probably within, you know, 15 to 20 years of age of each other. So this is still
mm-hmm.
an undercurrent in our society. It's not gone. For every, you know, person that we see that, you know, we believe doesn't, that tells us they don't have a racist bone in their body, you know, just consider that, you know, that undercurrent is still here. You know, it's you know, it's, you know, if we could talk personally about our own, you know, we see things that we don't like, you know, and it makes the hair stand up behind our necks first before we think about it and say, oh, wait a minute, that's okay. It's here in this country, and he just exhibited it.
But you know what? He's been exhibiting it for. I was going to say he's been exhibiting this for some time. You know, when they
right.
gave, or around the time when they were attempting to give Danny Manning that huge contract, he said, "You know, I'm sure giving this poor boy a whole lot of money." And he allegedly told Elgin Baylor when he was the GM of the Clippers, "You know, I don't want you filling my team with a bunch of poor black boys from the South and a white coach." And he's actually been on record of saying black people stink. That's why they attract vermin, you know, in terms of his apartments that he's owned.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
so, you know, these are things that he said before. These are things we've known he said. But the point that you stated earlier, Chris, about the Chris Paul trade, I really didn't even put that into perspective in terms of this particular situation. Because now you're giving this dude, who was probably a millionaire then,
mm-hmm.
to be a billionaire then, more of a billionaire now, because now he has a winning team. This is a
mm-hmm.
dude who's been running his team into the ground for years.
Yeah.
And the team has...
The team is fucking
you know, and the league has said nothing about him running his team into the ground and has allowed him to hold ownership for this team. They were the laughingstock of professional sports. Whenever anybody talked about a bad team, they talked about the Clippers. I know you guys, probably like me, huge comedy fans, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was brought up to me earlier today, and I completely forgot about it, and I don't know why, because I just listened to it last week. The old Robin Harris joke about going to see the Clippers when he was living in L.A. You know,
right.
he said, you know, he could buy a ticket, two tickets for the Clippers, and fill up and get $10 worth of gas for his car that was $12.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And he would go to the game, he would sit on the bench, and the coach would put him in. And he'd have, like, 11 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, and damn near have a triple-double, and the coach would be mad because he won't come back the next week because he got stuff to do. So It's been known for years that the Clippers have been bad, and he's been purposely doing this. There's no way in the world you can tell me you could lose for 20-something years on purpose and not have it be on purpose, and then all of a sudden your organization changes around because of this one big change, which actually gives them more money. Now they're the team in L.A., which is one of the hugest markets, if not the largest market in the NBA, and they're dominating things, which is making him richer. So, yeah, the only way you're going to hurt this dude, really, is to hurt him financially. And it's going to have to be a situation where he's going to have to lose ownership of the team. And I don't know exactly how easy that's
going
to be.
Well, I don't see that's going to happen. I don't see it happening.
Right.
I don't – you know, it's unfortunate. I don't see it happening. I don't think the commissioner, whether it's written in the bylaws or the trial laws or NBA or what have you, I don't see him having that amount of power. I mean, it would take – it would take an act of Congress to get Adam Silver to do what Major League Baseball did to Mark Schott back in the day. You know,
According to ESPN Radio this morning, the only thing that's written in their constitution that ousts an owner is a financial. You know, so there's nothing in there to oust the owner for, you know, racism. So
exactly, that's the same thing I heard too.
Yeah. So with that being the case, and of course us not knowing, you know, because they say that's private. So us not knowing what else is there, and not knowing, you know, what Marshot had, what, you know, Major League Baseball had written in theirs, that's different. Yeah, I mean, and plus he works for the owners. Is there a way for him to do that? I mean, it might have to take the little fraternity to do it, you know, to decide. Hey, we're gonna make this move.
And that's what's disturbing, Chris and Dwayne, is that, you see, when Dwayne wrote down the definition of racism, this is not just racism, this is institutional racism, in the sense that Dolan Sterling said, yeah, I love black people. I love as long as they're playing for my team and making me money, but but as long as you're in your place, you're okay with me. As long as you don't come to the games, as long as you're not seen with my side piece, as long as you're not seen, period, on a higher level than just a menial employee, i.e. a player, then it's okay with me. It's kind of similar to if you were ever in the country club setting, guys. Right? And this was said about Augusta National for years and years and years, where, you know, you have these rich guys. It says rich white guys just talk. I mean, sure, they're cool with the caddy, the black caddy. They're cool with the black, whether it's the waiters, or I hate to call them service, but the waiters, the wait staff, or what have you. But just don't join our club. Remember that? Just don't, just don't be one of our peers. And it's, and I feel that it's what Sterling, like, pretty much, you're saying the same thing, you know, lose the same sentiment, is that I don't mind these guys playing for my squad. I don't mind Chris Paul. Hell, I like Doc Rivers a little bit. Just don't come to my games. Just don't be seen as a peer. It's like, as long as black folks stay in their place, I'm cool with them. As long as Hispanics stay in their place, I'm cool with them. As long as Asians, other people of color, they're in that place, I'm cool with them. How many times have we heard that from rich billionaires, you know, rich white billionaires? I would say white billionaires because there are not many black billionaires.
Yeah.
There are not many Hispanic billionaires. So, of course, I have to say white billionaires in this instance. You know, so it's very, very, very disturbing. And if you think about this, 22 years, Elgin Baylor worked for this dude.
Mm-hmm.
During those 22 years, I know Elgin Baylor wasn't the best GM in the world, but during those 22 years, GM's making upwards of over $1 million. Elgin Baylor was getting paid $250K at the most, at the highest.
Wow.
And, you know, Sterling did not value those guys. I mean, it's like, sure, if you're – he even used to lowball players. Star players,
yeah.
Danny Manning, Dominic Wilkins, Doc Rivers when he was a player, you know,
yeah.
Ron Harper before he joined the Bulls. You know, it's, he has the history of this. So it's, to me, it's not necessarily just being cheap or overly frugal. It's that he just devalued people of color. That's just how I see it. You know, and so it's just a mess. It's just, and for the NBA, namely David Stern, to tolerate this shit and allow the Clippers to acquire Chris Paul by blocking the Lakers from acquiring him. But first of all, as much as I hate the Lakers, because I'm a Knicks fan, as much as I hate the Lakers, that was bullshit. That was just totally wrong. And for them to benefit to have Donald Sterling to be the ultimate beneficiary of that, I'm just not cool with. And that's why I think that if Adam Silver does not come down as hard as he could come down within the bylaws and trial laws right of the NBA, something's wrong. And for the owners to be silent, aside from Michael Jordan, to be silent, it really disturbs me as well.
You know, that's ironic that you bring that up, because now that you mention it, I see, when you said it's ironic that the owners are silent. I mean, the only one that said anything here in Dallas, Mark Cuban hasn't even said anything. You know, the mouth of the South hasn't said a word. The only person that's spoken out was Michael Jordan. That's ironic that you know, why aren't they saying anything? You know, I mean, they can talk about the refs, they can talk about, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Why aren't they saying anything? You know, I hadn't thought about that until just now, but it's ironic, you know. Nothing. None of them said anything.
I was talking about that earlier. Mister, I don't have an opinion on anything, said something. And you know what I kind of attribute that to? LeBron looking at him before he dunked that ball against him on Saturday afternoon. I think he's still a little upset about that. And now he got to speak his mind about stuff. But I got to go back to something that you said earlier, Scott. And I kind of got to kind of disagree with you. And I'm going to do that by posing the question.
Okay.
I just find it interesting that this is a guy who doesn't mind making money off black people, but he can't take money from black people.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You're trying to tell me that it's okay for him to earn wages off of the backs of these black athletes, but he won't take money from black fans? It seems kind of weird to me, which is one of those things that kind of questioned about this whole tape, where I find it odd that that's his thought process. I don't think he's that crazy, where I'm not going to take money from niggas, but I'm taking money from niggas? What?
Yeah.
It's just kind of compelling to me, and I just think that maybe there may be a little bit, and I would like to think the show scandal and other shows like X-Files for putting doubt in people's minds, for us to have this doubt on whether or not this tape may be altered. Because there was a time in our life where if there was a recording of something, we would almost take it as almost truth. But now, because of the way society is and with conspiracy theories and the such, you know, everything is hooked up in arms and up in question. And this is one of them things where I kind of question whether or not, you know, there's some validity to this. I mean, I'm not saying the dude's not racist. I know he is. For him to say that I don't want to take a black fan's money, which is less. Well, I mean, yeah, it is less, but it's still money. You know, I'm not going to take.
Right.
That's just crazy to me.
He's a crazy dude.
Like I said before, I just find it extremely ludicrous that you're absolutely correct that none of the other owners have said anything. You know who else said something? And I know he kind of feels for him a little bit because he's probably been in that exact same situation. Donald Trump, you know, he gave his political correct answer of, you know, I don't agree with what it is that he said, which is odd for Donald Trump for a lot of things that he said that has been borderline racist about Barack Obama. But at the same time, he comes around and is kind of like bad talking the girl for doing what she did, which I kind of agree with
him
well because. you know, and I understand for someone who's probably been a little touchy with his own hands in his time period, for somebody who's been married, what, 3-4 times, yeah, I can see him right. thinking that way. But, man, like I was saying, I just find it extremely odd during this entire conversation that that was one of the things. And the fact that he felt as though that he couldn't change culture. You know, this wasn't just him. It was culture. And there was nothing he could do to change it. But I just really believe that that particular comment or that statement wasn't made about really black people coming to games. It was about her being with black celebrities and what she may end up doing in terms of stepping out on this dude. And he's afraid that he's going to lose his jump off so she can go be a jump off for somebody else. But
does it matter if they're black? Or what happens if it was, Matthew McConaughey? He doesn't mind losing her to Matthew McConaughey. He doesn't mind losing her to Chris Humphries or somebody. It's got to be, you know, somebody black that
he doesn't
want her with.
Chris Humphries doesn't have that much game. He doesn't have that much game anyway.
You know that stereotype. Once you go black, you get bad credit. But it's that whole thing of that whole stereotype of African-American men. And it's going to tell you, I'm guessing. I'm just throwing this out there as a crazy thought because that entire conversation just sounded crazy to me and the whole stereotype of African-American men and their girth. But you are absolutely correct. The whole thing of her just being seen with black men and that being an issue. And then for him to say that, I don't mind if you're sleeping with them. I don't care, but don't let it be a black dude. I'm like, I do kind of, that's just, I don't know. I really don't want to make sense of that conversation because it just sounded extremely, extremely crazy throughout where it was, even if it was a real conversation, piecemeal, even to the point where his wife doesn't believe whether or not it's his voice. Did you hear guys say that on yesterday where she was kind of interviewed during the game on Sunday? Yeah, I forget who the courtside interviewer is, but she asked to interview his wife. She declined to do it on camera, but she did answer questions. And one of the things that she said was that she could not identify whether or not that was her husband's voice or not. Really?
No, she knew.
Yeah, you've been married with this dude for 40 years, and you couldn't identify his voice.
Yeah, she has to say that, you know, just to save face. You know, anybody who listened to it, you know, I mean, I wondered, too, if it was doctored. But I was like, well, you know, what advantage would it be to the young lady if it was doctored? And how would
what advantage is it of hers to release this tape?
Well, if she said she was going to hurt him, she found a way to do it. You know, she may have exactly what she wanted, is his reputation damaged, whether it's for 15 minutes or 50. You know, she's got what she wanted. You know, so why would she mess with the tape, you know? And the thing is, you wonder how it was created. You know, she had a cell phone and just put it on record, you know, because there are apps that do that. Or there's so many, there are ink pens. You know, we have pens at work that you can record a meeting on. You can record up to, you know, 2 hours worth of meeting time. No one knows you're recording it, but you're recording it. And then you can play it back. So technology allows you to do that. And then you can download it and create an MP3.
Yeah.
So what advantage would it be to her to doctor the tape or doctor the recording? No,
you're right. And that was my whole thought. What would be her advantage of her doctoring the tape? And then my other thought was what would be her advantage of even releasing the tape? And that kind of still leads me back to this lawsuit that the wife has on her.
Yep.
Because, I mean, you're not really exposing him for being a racist because, like we've said before throughout the podcast or throughout the conversation, that we already know he's a racist. But the other thing that we really haven't even talked about, even though we've been talking about this for 40 minutes, the LA NAACP.
Oh, my God. That's the stress me the most about that.
Exactly. So this was going to be his second lifetime achievement award. Who gets two lifetime achievements awards? And the fact that he received one, and you know, the fact
I was
that
really hoping
one,
that was my imagination that I heard that, but you just confirmed that it wasn't.
No, he already has one.
And you know what, fellas? I mean, that that goes to show you that the NAACP, at least the LA chapter, it can be easily bought. That's the only way that fool can end up with one in the first place. He was buying, he bought it off of them. He was contributing to their funds by making campaign contributions. He is a Democrat, after all, so he probably contributed to their causes, their political causes or whatever. He bought that damn award. That really pissed me off. I'm sorry to yell at you guys. I don't mean to yell at you guys.
No, that's fine. No.
That fucking pissed me off. I mean, and they're about to give it to him again. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Come on.
I was
Mike,
really hoping that
on.
Was my imagination, but
come
apparently
on.
It wasn't. I
no,
was like,
Chris,
I read that
on
the side of the I was like, for real? I was like, no, that can't possibly be right.
Yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, did you guys see the interview with the L.A. president, Leon Jenkins, where they talked about them rescinding the award for this year? So they basically, he makes a statement saying that they're rescinding the award and that they're giving back a donation that he gave, which of an insignificant amount.
Right.
So they're giving back the donation, and they're saying that you can't get the award for this year. And so, of course, it was asked, you know, so do you think it was him on the recordings? And, like, you know, we really don't know as of yet. So why are you taking away the award? His response.
Yep.
You know, his response, and I quote, where is that response? Sometimes things happen, and you have to take immediate action. But before he made that statement, he was also asked about them giving him an award in 2009. They were like, well, you knew about the slumlord situation. Why was it that he was able to get the award then? What we decided to do, and this is Jenkins, I'm paraphrasing what he said, we called him up and we said that if this is true, if you're mistreating these people, you need to give their money back. He did, and they gave him the award.
Wow.
So, yeah, I just, you know, for the LA NAACP, they need to be just as ridiculed as the NBA for allowing this to happen because they know. And I feel bad because a lot of times people question the integrity, especially the integrity of African-American leadership. And then when a situation like this happens, it just taints it that much more. And oh, my God.
You know, Chris,
you think about – go ahead, Scott.
No, I was going to say Stephen A. Sorry, guys. I was going to say Stephen A. Smith, he was talking about it on First Tape this morning. He actually looked in the camera and called the NAACP, the L.A. chapter, the NAACP out. The fact of the matter is that you have to wonder sometime where folks' priorities lie, okay? Mm-hmm. You have to wonder, okay, in the case of the NAACP, they knew what this fool has been doing for decades, yet they've given him a pass and essentially enabled him. The NBA looked the other way for many years for his misdeeds. Not only to, like, give him a pass, but send him a damn lifeline in the form of Chris Paul and allowing Doc Rivers to go to the Clippers from Boston. So he got let's take Sawyer for a minute. The man that Blake Griffin in the draft, which, you know, it happens. They can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
Because it is, after all, a draft. But to send Chris Paul to the Clippers instead of to the Lakers, A, and B, allow who I think is the second-best coach in the NBA, aside from Greg Popovich and Doc Rivers, from Boston to the Clippers. So you now essentially built a behemoth, okay, in the NBA in the Western Conference, just rewarding this dude some more. So the whole thing is this, guys, is that this dude, Sterling, this happens when a fool gets unchecked for many, many, many years. He runs amok. He does whatever the hell he wants. It's like an overly spoiled kid, except that this overly spoiled kid has deep-seated issues. Okay? If for a man to devalue other human beings who do not look like him, okay, to the point that he does, and to allow this individual to continue to revel, to continue to get paid, continue to be one of the exclusive clubs, and those in that exclusive club being those who own sports franchises, to thrive and whatnot, year after year after year, even during his wing years, when he just was running the team into the ground, what can be said is what can be said about that other than the obvious? Fucked up, messed up. It's a classic clusterfuck, if you will. It's just terrible all the way around. And the only thing I could do about it now is just throw up my hands. It's like they've allowed us to go on. They being the NBA have allowed us to go on. They end up being a team that doesn't fit in the mind, obviously, being the Bayou. And, you know, it is what it is at this point. I mean, what? So let's just discuss what can be going, Adam Silver, what can he do to move? I know that the Wayne you alluded to earlier, and Chris did too. I think there's a long-term and a short-term solution. The short-term solution to me is obvious. Is to suspend this fool indefinitely. That'll give, I think, Adam Silver time to come up with a plan to try to get this fool the hell out of the NBA. Long-term solution is it's pretty murky, given what we talked about with the bylaws, and Chris, you mentioned that earlier. Dwayne, you second that notion. So I'm going to sort of throw it out to you. I'm going to throw, like, Dwayne, I'll start with you. What should be – first of all, let's give me the ideal long-term solution and the real long-term solution.
The ideal long-term solution, in my opinion, of course, would be to get him to relinquish ownership of this team.
Right.
My realistic view of this is that in a couple of weeks, this will be all forgotten. He will still be the owner coming into next season. And somehow, some way, they're going to end up signing another huge free agent this offseason, which gives...
Do you think a free agent would want to go there now that Sterling has... I mean, even though he's known about for years, what he said, this crapstone has caused, there's a black free agent want to really sign there, do you think?
You know what? I don't know, but that team is extremely...
Okay. Right.
Depending on what these players end up doing this off season, if they have the money, they could potentially get another player to come in there and play with them. But the only reason why I have this such a doom and gloom outlook on this is because of what has happened with Perry Riley. You know, everyone talked about what should happen to this dude. This past offseason in the NFL, well, actually not this past offseason, but the previous year, the summer,
okay,
when he said what he said.
Right.
He comes to the season after being suspended for a couple of weeks, basically being sent home so that the team can calm down, you know, and he comes back. He has the season that he has, and he gets rewarded with this huge contract, and no one really even talks about that incident. So I'm seeing this as potentially being another situation that happens that way. I'm thinking if they couldn't even get rid of a player in the NFL, you know, what leads me to believe that they're going to get rid of an owner in the NBA? I would like for it to happen. You know, it'll be very interesting, especially with the fact that Magic Johnson has now opened up his mouth and said he wants to own the Clippers.
That would be some funny shit if that happened.
Scott, when I saw you post that, I thought that was highly entertaining, and I thought it was entertaining for the fact that he was president of the Lakers, right, when they were winning their championships, correct?
Right.
And then he got rid of his ownership. Well, he left as president, and is now jumping ship to the other winning team in L.A. I find that to be highly entertaining and highly hilarious, and now he's doing this. Really, Magic, that leaves me – I don't even know how I feel about that. That Magic would do that. It's not like you're just going to take over the league or take over the Clippers for the sake of they need new leadership. Nah, man, you want to get money too. And you're taking over a team that's winning
right
now.
Well, I put that statement in the vein of something that Walter Payton did when he was playing for Chicago Bears. Tried to become a member of a country club that wouldn't accept him because he was black. So he bought the country club and fired everybody who was there who wouldn't let him in there. So it's almost – so if Magic wants
awesome.
To buy –
that's
awesome. A true story. True story. So if Magic wants to buy the Clippers, it's almost – that's the first thing I thought of. Okay, well, you don't want me coming here? I'll buy it and kick all y'all out. Okay.
Funny.
My answer to the question is a little unconventional because, you know, granted, you know, I agree with both of y'all. He should be, you know, no longer allowed to own the plantation, okay, to use the, you know, use the vernacular. But how about this? Allow all of the staff, including the players and coach who want to leave, to get out, to opt out of their contracts and go other places. If they
Someone
want
said
to.
That earlier. Someone said earlier.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because, all right, you know, granted, you know, we may not be able to take the team away from them per se, but, okay, you know, if you've got a boss that, you know, you can't work with, you should be allowed to go work someplace else if you can get a job.
Right.
DeAndre Jordan, all these other guys, Chris Paul, all of them should be able to opt out of their contracts if they want and go someplace else if they can get a job. All right, so fine, let the man keep his team, per se, but let the team, if they choose to, go elsewhere. I guarantee you none of those guys will want to stay there unless they couldn't go anyplace else. And if they're forced to stay there because they can't go anyplace else, I mean, once the Blake Griffins are gone, Doc Rivers, DeAndre Jordan, Chris Paul, and keep going down the list of people who go elsewhere, the ones who are forced to stay there, not going to want to stay, not going to want to play for them. So then you get
right.
the same team you had back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And no, and the fans are not going to want to come either because there's no star power.
Right.
So
right.
They can't take the team from them because of their bylaws and whatever, but allow the players to leave, you know, allow
yeah.
them to go elsewhere, and then let's see what happens.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, again, it would take, and I know we've given out, each of us have given our ideal and our realistic scenarios. I mean, we're all pragmatists, right? we all pretty much living in this reality here. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, unless, and the other way, I mean, suppose he's able to, like, suppose Phil is able to, well, not should be able to, but, is made to sell the team. Dude, keep in mind, this dude bought the team in 1980, whatever the hell it was, 83, I guess, 82, for like $12.1 million. Now, even if you extrapolate that into today's dollars, that's still not a significant amount of money. So contrast that to what it's worth now, what the Clippers are worth now. They're worth over $700 million, easily. You know, $700 million. So if he made the sell, dude is standing to make well north of $500 million, if not $1 billion.
A rewarding again.
In other words, out of way, he gets off.
Yeah.
He ain't getting punished. So that's so out of way, fellas, even though on paper, on paper, it looks like he's been punished. No, he's not. Dude is about to cash in another lottery ticket. Hell, the dude's already a billionaire. So he's going to make another billion probably off of selling the Clippers. And he's 81 years old. He won't be able to spend it all, but he still gets paid. He still has his money. He can still chill wherever. He can laugh his way to the bank. He doesn't give a damn about what the fans think, obviously. Not the media, not anybody else, none of his peers, obviously. So, by the way, he still wins. So that's just the reality of it, and that's that.
And he can just go ahead and get himself another young girlfriend. Another mixed girlfriend.
Should be white.
Another groupie.
He's like a mixed. He like a mixed.
Yeah. Well, if the players are allowed to leave,
he likes them exotic.
Doesn't
there you go.
But if the players are allowed to leave, then the value of his team goes down.
True.
Right.
So let him keep the team and let the players go, you know, that don't want to work for him. Let the coach go someplace else. Let him sit on the bench for a while until, you know, he gets cycled back in or whatever. But that's the way you have to punish these guys. You have to punish them in the pocketbook. I mean, that's the reason why the Cowboys stink, you know. You have to punish these guys in their pocketbook, you know. And the only way you do it is to keep fans out the seats. Only way you do it.
There you go. Well, guys, I got a couple more minutes, but it's going to be interesting. I know that Adam Silver is going to call a press conference tomorrow, I guess at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I'm guessing that's where the short-term punishment comes in with the suspension. That's what I'm guessing is going to happen. But it's going to be interesting to see what Silver's going to do long-term, and the NBA will do long-term. So, again, just disappointing that it's gotten this far with the NBA, with Donald Sterling. But it is what it is, so we just have to find out. But, hey, guys, thanks a lot for making this a comfortable topic, entertaining. And I wanted to get to, I know I mentioned earlier I was wanting to talk about who's a real superstar in the NBA, who's a list of superstars in the NBA, but we'll just get to that later on in the week. So so we'll just do that. So hopefully we'll just keep our eyes peeled and see what happens with this Sterling situation. But thanks a lot, fellas, man. Appreciate your time as usual. And let's do it, man. Let's go. Take care.
All right. Same to you. Thanks.
All right. Good night, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was my guys, as usual, Dwayne Nash. And Chris Lupe holding it down as usual. And, this is one pretty messed up situation we have here. I mean, in my opinion, I think David Stern fed the monster that was Donald Sterling. Let him get away with stuff like this years and years and years from decades. I mean, with the housing discrimination lawsuit, what he did with Elgin Baylor, allegedly with Elgin Baylor, and now this recording, and the NAACP want to honor this dude not once but twice. Hell, they already honored him. It's just a one dead clusterfuck. But anyway, this is Scott Burks with the Clown Hour. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a good night. Enjoy the rest of the NBA playoffs tonight. 06. Yeah.